This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And right on time at, well, maybe not.
Well, we're close.
We're close. We can't interrupt the president, you know.
We did. He called and said we could.
He was getting off topic there.
Yeah.
So what's new?
What's new? It's 67 degrees outside.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful, and I almost didn't come in because I was going to lay down in the parking lot and catch some rays, but... too many cars running through there, and I got paranoid. So.
Roadkill.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for listening today. I hope you're in the gardening spirit, because today is a good gardening spirit day. And if you have any questions, regardless of the subject matter that I may be speaking of at the time, you may interrupt me with your questions at 673-4464. And I'll repeat that number throughout the show. So if you're a latecomer, I will say it again, 673-4464. So topic today is, I guess, old-fashioned plants. You know, those that have been around forever, and they're still going good today, and we see a lot of them around our area. And like any other industry, the plant world folks are, of course, constantly trying to invent and inventing new plants. They're hybridizing, and they take the pollen from a, say, a white rose and mix it with a pollen from a red rose and maybe come up with a red and white striped rose or an orange rose, you know.
Red, white, and blue.
Yeah, red, white, and blue rose. What the heck? And they're always inventing new plants, which is fun, which is good. It's nice to see new colors, new shapes, new growth habits, those kinds of things. And new plants that are hardier and... you know, fast-growing and animal-proof, and they bloom all year. That's what they're trying to come up with, you know, hardy. Got to be hardy, of course, you know, for all across the U.S., from, you know, southern Arizona to northern Washington, for goodness sakes. And they have to be fast-growing because nobody wants to ever wait for a plant to grow up. And they have to be animal-proof because those deers are out there mowing it all down, you know. And they got to bloom all year. You know, when it's 108 and when it's 8 below. So that's what they're shooting for, I guess. And some of these claims are true.
Really?
in some of the climate zones. Not everywhere, not across the board. You know, but not, like I say, not in all places at all times. It's always, you know, good to see how they perform, and that's why I always take new plants home and test them out and put them under the gun, and are they going to live up to their supposedly advertisement or reputation, and it's always good to see them and how they perform, and, you know, do they survive? Will they thrive in our area before I even buy one or get one just to try it out? Mm-hmm. When new plants don't live up to their billing, I always go back to the hardy, you know, the old-fashioned, tested, true shrubs and vines and trees. So I've picked out a few oldies today to preview. And these are, most of these are that I'm going to speak about, I think are, I know several of them are in bloom here in the city limits and around Douglas County. But the first one on my list is called a forsythia. Now, you can't mistake these guys. This plant is tough no matter where it's planted or how it's cared for. It grows, I mean, just it's like a super weed, but it's a nice shrub. And like a lot of these old-time plants, these forsythia, of course, are native to China and Korea.
Of course.
I mean, it seems like every plant I read about and do research on, well, it's native to China and Southeast Asia, or it's native to North Korea and Japan and Mongolia.
Virus-proof.
Virus-proof, absolutely. So you can make a salad out of these dudes. But You know, these guys, these Forsythia, they're very, very tough. You know, once they're planted, you better like them because they're going to stay unless you dig them out with a backhoe and get all the roots. You know, one of those things. And they're blooming right now all over Roseburg, all over Douglas County, and with their branches are filled with bright yellow flowers. So if you're driving down the street and you see a row of bright yellow blooming shrubs, those are Forsythia. Old country, old-timey type plants that before Kmart was invented, and they're not even around anymore, but before Lowe's was invented, yeah, or Bi-Mart was invented, Forsythia was sold in nurseries and things like that. You cut me off on some sound here, I think. I don't have any more echoes. What's wrong with you?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what you did. There you go. Oh, yeah, there you go.
There
you go. Yeah, man. Oh, if I can't hear what I'm talking about, then I don't know what
you
I'm talking
track.
About. Anyway, these Forsythia, they're blooming all over Douglas County, and they're very, very attractive. Now, unfortunately, this time of year is the only time they're very, very attractive. The rest of the time, they're just kind of a shrub. And they grow, you know, 5, 6, 7 feet tall, you know, very old ones. And they make good borders, you know, between neighbors and, you know, I wouldn't call them a privacy screen because they're kind of open type shrubs, and but they're pretty and they're bright. You know, here it is February something or other. What is it, 26th? And here we got the, you know, beautiful, beautiful yellow flowers out there. And, you know, it doesn't matter how cold it is, they bloom this time of year.
Nice.
I mean, they could be like last year or a year ago.
Snowmageddon.
We had the Snowmageddon thing. Yeah. They were blooming then. Yeah, they
wow.
were actually blooming before, you know, because they
right?
started blooming prior to the
to
snow.
Yeah.
Then the snow came, and the ones that were tall enough that were sticking onto the snow continued to bloom.
Continue to
yeah.
do it.
Crazy, man.
Wow.
You know, whoa,
yeah.
look at that.
We
and
like this.
I like this. And our local variety that you see around here, the name of it is Linwood Gold, and there's half a dozen varieties out there. I didn't bother with it, any of the rest of them, but it's a fast-growing shrub, grows to about 7 or 8 feet tall.
Wow.
I've seen some taller, but you can prune them to 3 feet and keep them that way. I've seen some people prune them into a nice square or rounded hedge. I've seen them, you know, wild and growing, and it's okay. And they're about, oh, say 4 feet wide, maybe at most. I haven't seen any much bigger than that. But this Linwood Gold makes a beautiful natural screen, but it can be more formal, like I say, when you prune it. You can prune it to the ground, and it's going to grow right back. You know,
like a rose.
Yeah, exactly, like a rose, or like a lot of things I've tried to kill, you know. Oh, golly. But when it grows back, after you've pruned it down heavily, it grows back thicker and it faster, a lot faster. And this is truly a low-maintenance plant. Hmm. You know, however, if it's fertilized and watered occasionally and planted in good soil, it can exceed your expectations. It can exceed what I'm saying today. Just the expectations, well, it's going to be kind of a okay plant, and it's going to look good. But like I say, good proper care really enhances its health, and consequently you get better, more growth, better flowers, more colorful flowers. Mm-hmm. You know, so it all lines up there. The bottom line is to give it room to grow. You know, you don't want to put them 2 feet apart. I mean, that's a waste of a plant. You don't want to put them up against a foundation or a driveway or a sidewalk because they're going to intrude, and then you're going to really have to chop them back. So, you know, when you're planting them, say, the hedge kind of thing, 4 or 5 feet is as close to one another as you want to put them. You could even put them 8 feet apart, and eventually they're going to grow together. They're just, like I say, a no-brainer plant. You plant them, and you can stand back and do nothing, and they'll survive, for goodness sakes. But there's not too many plants that'll do that, you know?
No.
But anyway, in my search for Forsythia, I found 18 different varieties of it. And like I say, we've only handled, I think, 1, maybe 2 varieties in our nursery in all these years. So there's a lot more out there. I just don't know where to get them, or I don't. Mm. If I had one, I'd grow some more.
Sure.
But they're a great plant. Easy, good. And my second favorite.
Number two on the list.
It's not number two. It's just the one that came in order here.
Okay.
But my second favorite old-time shrub is the lilac. Everybody knows what a lilac is.
Oh, yeah.
They've been around forever. I mean, they are just crazy.
Mom had some purple ones.
Oh, purple and white and red and violet, and we've got some multicolored ones that have two colors in the flowers, and I'm thinking like a deep red and a white, or a kind of a violet and a white. We had two kinds, and I'm not sure because they're not blooming yet. They don't have any leaves on them. But
surprise,
But they're we had to go. Gosh, where did we go? We had to go somewhere. West of Corvallis to a nursery that actually grew them and get them there, and they only had X amount. We couldn't get 100 of them.
Used to be all over the place.
Oh yeah, but the special ones, the new Jetta or the new Rolls Royce. Okay,
improved
variety. Yeah, and lilacs. Everyone likes a lilac. You know, when they're blooming, man, let's get some flowers, and they're cutting off the branches of flowers because the flowers are long.
Yep.
They're not just little they're individual flowers, but they're clustered together. So they might be 10-12 inches long of a bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
So they make a beautiful bouquet, and they smell, and the fragrance is great.
Yes.
And you cut them off and stick them in the water and put them in the living room or the kitchen or whatever, and they jazz up the place. And lilacs love cold winter areas, and they do well here. I mean, we're kind of cool, but they do their best in really cold climates. And think places like Bend, Reno, Spokane for their best growing conditions. They look better than a doornail, and then bingo, they start to grow. The leaves come out, and then the blooming time in those areas. They're just fantastic. But they do well here in Douglas County.
Mm-hmm.
Like 25 years ago or so, maybe more, longer, my mother-in-law, who lived in the high desert area between Reno and Susanville, California, they had some old-timey lilacs from whenever.
Columbus.
Columbus brought them over, I think, from Lilacville. But she gave us they had a great big white lilac out front. And she gave us a small root from the white fragrant lilac. And it was fragrant. That's real fragrant. That's why my wife wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in her front yard. And it was this little twig that she gave us was like 6 to 8 inches long. So we put it in a little cup of soil and kept it wet and drove home with the little thing. Had a couple of roots, nothing to shout about. And I thought, how is that stupid thing going to grow?
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, give me a root system. But anyway, now its new home is west of Winston out in the woods. And that anemic plant is now 8 to 10 feet tall and about 6 feet wide. And I got to cut it back every year just to get by it because it's right next to our pathway into the house.
Mm.
We got a very wide pathway, like I can drive a truck over it,
And
and the branches, they grow so vigorously, they crowd that. So I kind of whack that one side so we can get through without scratching the paint, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the thing blooms like you wouldn't believe. Beautiful, white, fragrant, and it seems like it blooms all summer long, for crying out loud.
Hmm.
Yeah. Maybe not in August, but, June, July, May, June, July, it's blooming. It's all the time good.
And it's white.
And it's white, very white and fragrant. Do we have a...
We do. We have a break.
I thought so.
Very observant of you.
I was timing myself.
There you go. I like it when you time yourself.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, we're back at 424, and you said 67 degrees?
It was 67 in the parking lot, yes.
Oh.
It was beautiful. And I almost didn't come in. I thought, this is too beautiful to go inside in that little dark room and talk on the radio.
Well, we could have had another hour or so with the president.
Yeah, I guess we could. But anyway, if you have a question, 673-4464. And I'm talking about old-time plants that are easy to grow, easy performers, look good. You never have a problem with them. Bugs don't like them. Deer don't like them. I mean, they're a good plant. And my lilacs that I was talking about at my house, for instance, we planted a few more starts from ones that we've grown in the nursery to have some different colors out there.
Yeah.
And if we... we don't do anything really good to the soil. They're just kind of on the creek bank, and, you know, they grow, and they did well. And we got some purples and I think a red one. And so it's just, it's like I say, easy. We don't have to mess with them. We don't have to fuss with
them.
And they look good. So that's the deal. That's the bottom line.
This purple seems to be that, well, used
to purple, be. Yeah, purple, it seems, that there, but there's... shades of that purple. There's light and there's medium and there's real dark, almost a black purple, but not you know, it's nice
shades of purple.
Yeah. And all these guys, they bloom, like I say, no help from us. They don't care about us. They just bloom anyway. And in the heat of the summer, you know, you might water them once a week if you remember, but that's more than they really need.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt them if you forget.
No, but don't water them every day. You kill them, that's for sure. And what I find amazing at my house is the deer don't mess with them. They don't damage them. They don't eat them. They kind of brush by them and go for, you know, the geraniums we got planted in pots on the deck.
These are more tasty.
Yeah, these are a lot better. I don't like them lilacs, man. But, you know, the colors of flowers, of course, run from, like I say, deep purple to white and some variances in between. I've seen red ones. I've seen off-white, kind of an off-light-colored red. I've seen multicolored ones. And, like I say, we have some multicolored ones now in the nursery. Of course, we won't see the blooms for probably another month or so. But, you know, they're just nice. And we've got one that's called... magenta, and I don't know what color magenta is. I was trying to, you know, they just mentioned it in words, but they didn't show a picture
of it.
And I thought, well, what's magenta? You know, I'm sure there's somebody smart out there, a lot smarter than me in colors, and say, oh, dummy, magenta is, you know.
Red, white, blue, and purple.
Yeah, so if you want to call and tell me what color it is, 673-4464. But they're very, very pretty, I know that. And give them room to grow, okay? Definitely. They can get like 10 feet tall, easy, 10 feet tall.
That is big.
And as wide, as long as they're not crowded. Like if they're in an open space like mine is at home, mine are a good, 9 feet tall right now. And I've pruned the tops a couple times just to bush them out.
So they would make a good fence barrier.
Oh, yeah. But since they're deciduous, they drop their leaves in the winter. You're looking at sticks, so it's not a privacy thing. But, you know, normally you're not sitting outside in the pouring rain, so it really doesn't matter, I guess. But and as far as pruning goes, I've pruned some lilacs to, you know, usually they're a multi-stem. They got lots of stems coming up.
Yeah.
And I've taken some of the older ones, and they'll have, like, the main stem in the middle is kind of bigger, thicker, more robust. And I've cut all the rest of them down, except that one, and made them into a tree.
Ah.
Yeah, and put some plastic or something so no new ones will pop up from the bottom there from the root system. And so all that energy is going into that one that I left. So it really turns into a nice tree, and then you can round it out and prune it or whatever. But after a few years, it's got quite a good trunk on it.
Wow.
And, it's easy to do. You can't be afraid to prune it. Don't worry, it won't die. unless you dig it out with a backhoe, you're good to go. Okay?
Burn it.
Yeah, or burn it. Yeah, throw gasoline on it and torch it. But and they also do well in large containers. Don't you know, something like the half wine barrel kind of thing, that size, you could probably plant a lilac in there and it would be good for, oh, maybe 5 to 7 years before you'd have to transplant it. So if you wanted something like that on the deck or your patio or at the front, your front entry, and you got a wide entry, maybe 8 foot, and you know, well, let's put some plants out here. Yeah, put a lilac out there as long as it's got a, you know, sufficient sunlight and air and all that kind of stuff. And it's a good decoration for that. So the worst thing you can do, of course, is overwater. Don't overwater the dumb things. Water no more than once a week on the first year.
Drowning in love.
Yes. And, you know, like my big one from my mother-in-law, that I never water it. Never.
No?
If I'm walking by with a hose, I might sprinkle the leaves on a hot day because it's by that time it's in the shade. By the time I get home, it's shady.
Yeah.
So I sprinkle the leaves because I get a little bit of dust from the road. Man, my neighbors go too fast to raise dust. And so I'll wash the dust off. But that's it. And that doesn't constitute a watering because it's not getting into the root system. So that's how that is. So, and then we've got some old-timey vines and things. And there's lots of lots of varieties.
They're all over the place.
I know. They're crazy. I mean, you know, poison. Well, not poison oak, but, ivy.
You
know, you drive around this town, and you look in some of these oak trees, and some, and you'll see ivy 50 or 60 feet in the tree growing on the trunk. Well, what it does, it's not one of my favorites, by the way. The roots will actually embed themselves into the bark of the tree and go through into the bark and steal the nutrition from the inner zone that
it's
takes.
It's like a parasite.
Exactly. and if you have that, it might look really cool, but it's going to kill the tree. Mm-hmm. So if you want the tree to survive, take the ivy off the tree. And but I wasn't going to talk about ivy anyway. So But wisteria is really good. I like honeysuckle and I like jasmine. Those are three that we use a lot in landscaping when clients request that there be some sort of vine or something like that. And clematis is another that we've used a lot, especially the evergreen variety that never loses their leaves. But clematis are very colorful, but wisteria is also capable of taking over your fence or your house if you don't prune it and keep it in place. And you don't want to plant it at the foundation, you know, 3 feet from the foundation and say, well, that's good. Now, at Kyle's house, I do a little work for Kyle once in a while.
Yeah.
And he's got this clematis, and I know I'm talking about wisteria, but he's got this clematis about a foot from the foundation.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and it goes almost all the way to the peak of the roof. And then it reaches out for the sunlight. So he has a little pathway to his backyard. Well, every once in a while, about twice a year, you got to cut those things back or you'd never get to the backyard. Well, wisteria is even worse. It grows faster. It'll grow faster, and then it reaches out to something else, grabs a hold of a shrub across the pathway, and starts winding in there and growing. So it's very capable of taking over shrubs or fences or anything that's there to grab onto if it's not pruned and kept in place. And when you prune it and keep it in place, hey, it's good. It looks good. It's very decorative. The flowers are outrageous. They'll begin to bloom, you know, late spring, depending on the weather.
So I got to know, does Kyle keep his trimmed?
No. I keep his trimmed. Most of the spring and the summer, in the right spot, they're going to be blooming. And if you want to cover something up, plant a wisteria. I mean, it'll cover it up in a hot minute.
Yeah.
They grow super fast, and they need no care once they're established. I mean, zero care. If they never saw another drop of water except till November or December, they wouldn't. So what?
Kyle would be a fine example of that.
Yeah, okay, because he doesn't irrigate that side of the yard. Oh, gosh. But once they're established, you know, they're good to grow. Mm-hmm. And an establishment means a year in the ground where they put the roots down, and then the second year, you may have to take a little bit of care, but after that, I mean, it's zero.
They're on their own.
Yeah, they're on their own. It's zero care, and they grow super fast, super, super fast. And when I say care, I'm speaking of fertilization and water. I'm not speaking about pruning. You got to prune these puppies if you want to keep them in place. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And the variety I prefer is like a violet blue. And these flowers, they hang in garlands of flowers. They're like the lilac. Well, the lilac has a more of an upright flowering mm-hmm. habit. Well, these have a drooping. They hang, and very attractive
yeah.
when they're blooming. Very, very attractive. And and like I say, the variety I like, they're kind of a violet blue, and the flower garlands 8 to 10 inches, maybe 12 inches long, and there's more than 100 right. little tiny flowers that make up that whole garland, so it's just hanging down, and the bees and the hummingbirds love it. If you have a vegetable garden, and you need some pollinators, mm-hmm. you put a wisteria out there, and those puppies will will flock to that and pollinize your plants. You know, can you imagine eating a tomato, biting into a tomato, and it tastes like a wisteria? You know, I mean, when the cross-pollination happens, you didn't get that one, I know.
Yeah, I got it, but I didn't know what to say.
Well, then, yeah, that's okay. But if you don't prune these guys or train the direction of growth, it gets wild, period. It's going to grow in any direction it wants to, period. You're not going to, yeah. And so if you want a wall of it, you gotta prune it. I mean, it might take 3 prunings a year. But they're quick. They're not hard branches. They're soft branches. Oh. So it's pretty quick and pretty easy. And if you do it on a regular basis, you train it and it spreads. It goes the opposite direction of your pruning, just like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to plant one next to your house, like I warned against, you'd be amazed how quickly it can reach your roof and your rain gutters and tear those up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then you'll be amazed at how hard it is to get rid of.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah, because those vines, I mean, I've seen them grow 6-7 feet in a year.
Mm-hmm. They're strong.
Oh, yeah, just go for it, baby. Yeah. Let's do it. And any direction. So, but wisteria works well on a trellis or when the arbors that, here's your driveway and you have a sidewalk up to the front entry and you have one of those wooden arbor kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You put a couple of wisteria on either side of that and grows up over the top. It's very decorative, very nice. And
sure.
Again, as long as you keep it pruned, you're good to go.
Good, yeah.
And it's going to be full and nice. And this is how easy it is. I had a wisteria at my first house, and I've shared many stories about my first house and how overgrown everything was. And there was a wisteria.
But it was a good experience for
you.
Oh,
yeah, man. I learned a lot. I butchered my place before I butchered everybody else.
There you go.
Yeah, but I had one growing in the front yard and such as it was.
Yep.
And it was spread all over the place. I mean, it was growing into the juniper, and it was growing into the apple tree, and it was growing, it was trying it was trying to reach the house and get in the front door. I mean, that's...
It was hungry.
Yeah, it was hungry. This thing was crazy. And anyway, I was looking at it one day after I'd been in business for about a year or so, and the cool thing about it, it had a single trunk of about maybe 4 feet tall, 4.5 feet tall. Uh-huh. And there were little branches coming off the single trunk, but the main trunk was about 3 or 4 inches in diameter, pretty good solid trunk.
Uh-huh.
And then the rest of it went up on my gutters and rain gutters and the roof and all that. So I whacked that sucker right down to the nubs. I mean, boom, there was nothing there. I mean, I said, die, wisteria. Of course, my good old neighbor Harry Hill across the street came mm-hmm. over and chastised me about, that wisteria's been in for 49 years, and they planted it in 1926 now, and you ruined it, Mike. And I said, well, it'll grow. Don't worry, Harry. He'd walk back across the street. I probably within 3 weeks, there were new buds. On that thing. And I had pruned it right down to the top of the main trunk. And there was new buds showing itself on the top of the main trunk. Mm-hmm. And then anything on the length of the trunk, I kind of kept those scraped off. You just take your hand and run it down the trunk, and they just come off because they're, you know, young and green
soft.
And tender.
Yeah.
Soft, yeah. But on the top, I let that go. And I let it go, and it grew into like a mushroom shape. Really cool. And so I pruned the bottom of the mushroom like you prune a weeping willow, you know, how they prune them flat. Well, that's what I did with this wisteria. And it grew about 4 feet wide and looked like a giant mushroom. And when it
nice.
Bloomed, it was outrageous. And it was after a few years, you know, people would drive by and in the neighborhood and go, whoa, what's that plant? Oh, it's a wisteria. Boy, how did you make it do that? Well, I cut it up pretty good.
Stunted its growth.
And Harry Hill, my neighbor, couldn't believe how well that had come around and made something pretty. But it was, you know, when you don't, at first, when you do this kind of thing, you think, I hope I'm not killing it. I hope I'm not destroying my plant. You're really not.
You're helping it.
You're helping it. It's going, yeah, I love that. Thank you. Let's grow again.
Let's do a break.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back once again with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, the MC of the Winston Chamber 2020 Citizens.
First Citizens Banquet.
First Citizens.
Well, I've been doing that for 20 years.
20 years. Nothing new there.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. News Radio 1240 KQAN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we are returning with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here on News Radio 1240 KQEN. And are we still on your hit list of favorite plants?
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah. I got 18 pages I got to go
all
through.
Right.
No, I don't.
Oh, don't disappoint me.
I know. Well, you're going to leave me here for a minute, so I'm all alone with all these controls, so don't call for about 5 minutes, okay? I don't know how to do this. All I know is plants, okay, and dirt. Oh, gosh. But anyway, I was talking about my wisteria that I pruned into a mushroom tree and became the hit of the neighborhood because it was so unusual. And over the years, I've developed that habit of some people say, what are you doing destroying that tree? You're pruning it too hard, blah, blah, blah. Well, I know what it's going to look like in a year or two, so it's easy to do. And I got a whole bunch of this stuff at the nursery where I've got people call them sculptured. and it's true, they're kind of sculptured, but it's your imagination say, hey, how do I want this dude to look in about 3 years or 3 years or whatever? And so each one is different. Each one has different a look to it, a different twist to it, and they're good for focal points in your landscape. So that's how I got started in the wild pruning business, you know. So another vine... Another vine that I really appreciate and I like are the evergreen clematis. It's called Clematis armandi, and it's a great old-time vine. How's that? And it's fast. Again, all these plants that I'm talking about are relatively fast growers, so they recover quickly from any massacre that you do with your pruning shears. And anyway, it's fast. It covers a lot of space quickly, and I've talked about one of my clients in the past that had a second story balcony with some, I think they were 4x4 or 4x6 pressure treated posts holding up the balcony. And she asked me, could you plant a couple of clematis at the base so they climb up the post? And okay, we'll do that. And it's kind of a hot west side, so it's full sun, which doesn't hurt them at all. At any rate, you know, the first year they kind of sat there and she said, well, they're not growing very much. I said, well, they will. They got to get rooted in. And when she wasn't looking, I threw some super fertilizer on them. And I thought, okay, we'll show her. Well, the next spring, from about, I guess they were about 3 feet tall and a couple of leaves, no, more than a couple of leaves, but they weren't the vigorous thing that she had envisioned. But by the end of that second year, they were halfway up those poles, about 8 feet in the air, and they were very full and very bushy, and she really, really liked them. Well, the third year, they were on the top railing of her outdoor, her bedroom room deck, and they were taking over the deck, and she says, you got to cut these back, Mike. You got to they're coming in the house, for crying out loud. I said, you wanted them to grow. I made them grow, and now you're complaining that they grew too much and they're overtaking your house. And she laughed, you know.
Never satisfied.
No, but she's very, very great client, and I've done a lot of work for them, so we have some jokes like that ongoing. So we cut it down because it was actually growing along the top railing of this second story deck. And so we cut it back to, we thought, well, it still looks good and it's still full. And within, I guess, 6 weeks, it was overtaking the deck again.
Again?
Yeah, because that's how, once they're established, I mean, they just go big time. But yeah. When this thing is blooming, it's an evergreen, it's a Clematis Armandi. Uh-huh. And when it's blooming, it's all white blooms. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. It's just beautiful, beautiful.
Nice.
And that's like I say, one of my favorites. Now, there's so many different Clematis, but... to my knowledge, and I may be incorrect here, but to my knowledge, that is an evergreen clematis, and it's the one I use most. That's the one we buy a lot of, and use them in landscapes. But they're just number one, and there may be other evergreen ones, but most of them are deciduous. Mm-hmm. Now, the deciduous ones, that means they lose their leaves in the fall and winter. They're kind of bare sticks. But the colors, you can't beat the colors. There's every color you can imagine and combinations of those of colors. And in a lot of instances, the color schemes can be two or three colors in the same flower. Mm. And these flowers are anywhere from 2 to 3, maybe even 4 inches wide. And they're kind of flat. And they grow all the way up the vine. And they are just nice. Really outrageous. Yeah. And they do bloom most of the summer. And, again, they attract hummingbirds like nobody's business. So mm-hmm. if you want hummingbirds, plant some clematis in your yard. And they're going to be attracted to it. But one landscape job I did for an office down on Harvard years ago, a small job, but she wanted clematis. So on the east side of her building, I planted, I think, 3 of these deciduous clematis. And gave her instructions, and I think they had, there was a sprinkler system in there, and of course they overwatered.
Yeah.
But it was a slope, so they had some
drainage.
Yes, some drainage, but the soil was, you know, basically clay except in the planting holes, so it still retained a lot of moisture. And she called me one day and says, "The plants are dying. They're brown. The leaves are crinkling and brown." I said, "Well, how?" How often you're wandering is my favorite. And she told me, I said, well, stop it right now. And I'll come over and take a look at them. So I came over and took a look at them. And, you know, obvious overwater. And I felt the ground and it was saturated.
Wow.
So I gave her strict instructions. I'm pruning them back. Don't water them. Don't do anything to them. And I pruned them right to the ground.
Yeah.
And they were 3 feet tall, say. And within, I'd say... 40 days, they were probably 5 feet tall.
Jeez.
They had come up from the roots, five feet tall, and they were in full bloom, and they were gorgeous all along the side of her building. Her building was a redwood siding and stuff, so mm-hmm. they're really, really nice display of color, and as you were going west on Harvard, they popped out like big time, they popped out and they were good. But the thing is,
like, you can't, Jack in the Box.
Yeah, Jack in the Box, or, you know, Carl's Jr. or something like that. Yeah. We've got to give people equal time here. But yeah, you know, that's how good they are. If you don't like them, cut them down. If they're not looking real good, or if they're not full enough, go ahead and prune them. again, the root system is viable. The root system is going to grow. They're a vine, for crying out loud. They're tough. They're like a weed. They'll grow.
They'll grow.
And if they look a little weak, give them some fertilizer, some liquid fertilizer, some of the, you know, stuff that you find in our nursery or some other nursery or even in the Bi-Mart. You know, you just you add a little bit of that stuff, and it's a quick fix. It's like if you're really hungry, instead of stopping for burger and fries because you're close to dinner, you get a Snickers bar and eat that on the way home, and it takes the edge off.
Okay? Lay off the water.
Yeah. and that's what the liquid fertilizer does. Kind of gives them a quick fix and generates the new growth very quickly. And then when you add the granular powder dry fertilizer, it takes about, you know, anywhere, depending on the time of year and the watering schedule you have, it'll take anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks to get down into the root system to really generate new growth. But you do a couple of quick fixes in the meantime, things are growing, and then by the time the granular gets down there, it's good for months.
It's ready to go again.
And you just don't want to do it too late in the year, because that could have some detrimental effect if we had 5 feet of snow, you know, one of those things. So, but, you know, there's...
Can we have a break here?
Yeah, if we have to have a break, okay.
All right.
I was on a roll, you know.
I know. Got to get my Snickers bar.
I know. Okay, get me one too.
All right. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And as promised, we're back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Oops, I went into my country accent there.
Oh, I noticed that. You know, it's something how you do that. Anyway, I've been talking about my favorite old-time plants, and I talked about some shrubs, and I'm talking about some vines that will do a good job for you. And, you know, the evergreen clematis, for instance, are white, and then the deciduous ones are multicolored. Well, check this out. Try to envision this. Let's say you got a trellis or maybe a small shed in the backyard or something like that, and you want to decorate it with a vine, and you don't care if it climbs all over. Well, you might take a evergreen clematis and plant it in the center of the shed, you know, from maybe 10 foot wide, put it right in the middle, and then take two deciduous clematis and plant them on either side. And if you can imagine the different colors and different bloom times when they all intermingle, because they they're crazy vines, and it would be a real show. It would really be a pretty classy deal. And I haven't seen anybody do that. So on some lucky home this spring and summer, I'm going to spring this on one of my clients and see if I can't get that done. Just see what it looks like.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I was thinking about that. And gee whiz, that would be an outrageous color scheme. Just like I say, combine the evergreen with a couple of deciduous, and it's good to go. And the last little vine that I want to talk about is the jasmine. Jasmine vines, they're beautiful, they're easy to manage, in that they don't grow, they grow at a more moderate rate. They're not like the clematis, they're not like the wisteria or the honeysuckles.
Slower?
It's very slow. And they're evergreen, and they've got a small leaf, and they have white fragrant flowers that blooms all summer.
Oh, nice.
I've planted some on some structures, because they don't destroy structures. They actually climb up the structure, and they're easy to maintain and prune, and they don't eat up a fence, or they don't eat up the side of your house. Or
building friendly.
Yeah, there you go, building friendly, exactly. And we have a line of them at a dental office out on Harvard, on their kind of an inner court that we built for them. And so that the patients can look out while they're sitting in the dental chairs and look at the landscape.
And
it's a privacy thing with the wooden fence, and then the jasmine are crawling up the fence. And it looks good.
Yeah,
and
relaxing.
Yes, exactly. You want that dude relaxed.
Ah, you're killing me. Get that thing out of my mouth.
No.
More.
Yeah. But jasmine, they're a moderate grower and a whole lot easier to take care of. And but they're, again, they're a tough plant as well, and the heat doesn't hurt them and the cold doesn't hurt them, so they're pretty go.
Can't lose.
No. And like I say, the white flowers on an evergreen background, it makes for a nice look. And again, the small leaves are a real shiny deep green, so you got white flowers and shiny deep green leaves. And so it's very decorative in that respect.
Yeah.
And if you have places around where you want something that's viney but easy, that's what you want to get.
That's your plant.
Yeah. How much time I got here?
Oh, a couple of minutes.
We're going to have a special show here on March 11th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with Ricky out there. And Ricky is working out there and across the hall, I guess. It's not really a hall. Across the building.
Building. Yeah.
And she has quite a cactus collection on her windowsill. I counted seven different ones out there.
Oh, there's seven now?
Yeah, there's seven. But she's got some in another room, she said. I said, where's the other ones I gave you? And she said, well, I put those in this other room. So at any rate, on March 11th, she and I are going to do the cactus show.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I don't.
Why you brought that book?
Yeah,
in?
I had. Yeah, I couldn't find any information on cactus, and so I went to While Away Books, and I'm looking. They got like four shelves of gardening stuff, and I found this one. It says Baja California Plant Field Guide, but it's all cactus.
Yeah.
So
it's even got pictures.
And the flowers on cactus are just outrageous. Some of them are just, you know, knock your eyes out. They're just really, really pretty, very colorful, very beautiful. And they've got to be the toughest things in the whole world because they don't ever get any water.
No.
They get abused constantly with sand and wind and drought. And, you know, look at those flowers.
Oh,
and this book's got a lot of color. I'm going to study this book from now to March 11th so I can sound halfway intelligent when I'm speaking of cactus. But Ricky is an expert. I mean, she loves them, and she knows about them, and she's doing a good job. And, of course, every week I come in and critique her cactus garden.
Yes, you do.
But
March 11th.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, March 11th, so we got a couple weeks yet.
Yeah, mark your calendars.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you learned something.
Where are you located in Winston, Mike?
Highway 99, Big Green Roofs. It says Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, and we've got a big parking lot, and you can buy all you want.
Okay. Catch you next time.
Thank you.